you very much. There's wonderful power. At this time, we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moment. Now, I got this bag a couple weeks ago. Destiny, you brought it, correct? I have not looked in it, I promise. I'm not that type of scallywag that would just go around looking, as I promised not to. So, all right, so let's see what we got here. We got a stuffed penguin. What does this penguin have a name? Nameless penguin. I'm going to name him, Squanji? Okay, we'll name him Squanji. That works. All right, so today is not a great day for penguins. It's a little warm outside, isn't it? Where do you see penguins? When it's cold, that's right. Antarctica. Sometimes you see them at the zoo, right? We have the opportunity to see them, and they come to us, and we get to go to the zoo. But we've got to make an effort to go see them, don't we? We've got to make an effort to go and find penguins, especially in our area of the world. And we have the opportunity each and every day to make special efforts to go and see people, don't we? To go see people that maybe need some assistance or need some help. Maybe they've got a difficult time going on. Maybe there's friends at school who are having trouble or difficult times. And we have the opportunity to go and see them and help them and come alongside them. And so I want to encourage you all, the next time you see a penguin name, what's the name again? Squanji, that you, next time you see a penguin named Squanji, that you go and think of a friend or someone that you can go and help and do things for, okay? I don't know how often that'll happen, but you never know. So if you'll pass that on over to her, who would you like to have the bag, Destiny? Who would you like to have the bag next to? Joseph? All right. No, you want it? All right. All right. That's right. All right. All right, I know. Everyone wants the bag. Well, we're going to pray, and then you can cry about it to Miss Vicky downstairs. All right. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and grace. We thank you for all these kids that we have the opportunity not only to teach but to learn from as well. We pray that you would continue to guide and lead them. And Lord, may we always be mindful that we have the opportunity to go and to be with and to help others. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, and we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, y'all can go with Miss Vicky to Children's Church. Give it to Jill. Our scripture lesson this morning comes again from Ecclesiastes. We've been looking through Ecclesiastes this month during our pledge drive, during our stewardship campaign. We've considered the word hevel, H-E-V-E-L. It means vapor or enigma or paradox, and so we've talked about that and what that means. It doesn't typically mean pointless or meaningless, as our translations tend to put it. Last week, if you'll remember, we looked at promises and money, and we considered that. And we also have considered that we have been made for the purpose of worshiping God. And so we want to continue to consider that and what that means for us as we continue to move forward as disciples of Jesus Christ. So with that being said, I want us to look today at Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 29 to chapter 8, verse 1. We're going to consider these two verses today. Hear now the word of our Lord. See, this alone I found. God made human beings straightforward, but they search for many complications. Who is wise, and who knows the meaning of anything? A person's wisdom brightens the expression. It changes the hardness of someone's face. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you again for this day that you've given to us, for the opportunity we've had to hear your word read. We pray that you would be with the words you have given to me. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, and be faithful to that call upon us. We ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. One of the things I love about the book of Ecclesiastes is that the teacher, who is doing the primary speaking at this point, cuts through all of our pretense, right? He doesn't really beat around the bush. He goes straight to the heart of things, and not only does he cut through our pretense, but he almost kind of cuts through our supposed intelligence. We think we're pretty smart, and then we read something like this, and we realize how far maybe we still have to go. The teacher is trying, as we mentioned a few weeks ago, to keep faith honest, right? He's not an agnostic or an atheist. He's asking honest, faithful questions of God and of us as we consider our role in life. And I think the best way he kind of does this, keeping faith honest, is to remind us at times of our ignorance, to remind us at times that we don't have it all figured out, and neither does he. In fact, every time he thinks he's grasped hold of it, the vapor, the hevel, the smoke has escaped and eluded him once more. We're told here in this passage that God made humanity straightforward. He made us simple. We were not created to understand the deep mysteries of life. There are some things that are simply beyond our understanding. But at the end of the day, our task is to love and to worship God. If we can do that, all of these other things will figure themselves out. They'll sort themselves out. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all of these other things will be added to us. That's the promise Jesus gives us in the Gospels. And the hevel, the paradox of it all, is our desire to know more than we can. One of the things I think we tend to be plagued with is this desire to know more. And while it's not a bad desire, we have to recognize that in that desire, sometimes the answers will be given to us, but more often than not, it's kind of a hurry up and wait, right? Or maybe that's not for you to know. We want to know how everything works. Does anyone here like magic? I love magic. I love magicians. Remember a few years ago, they came out with this guy who would not show who he was, but he was telling us how they did all of the different tricks that they did. And I refused to watch that because ignorance is bliss. And I just want to see the trick. I don't want to understand it. That's just me. That's just me personally. I don't want to understand it. I just want to enjoy the mystery of it. He made the Eiffel Tower disappear. That's incredible. And then here it is again. That's incredible. I don't care how he did it. I just want to be entertained, and I want to enjoy the fact that this illusion has taken place. And again, that's just me, but there are far many other things that I want to know everything about. And that's where we tend to get into trouble. Because we say we want simplicity, right? All of us in here, if we're honest with ourselves, we want life to be simple, right? We want it to be simple. But in reality, we just want to know. And that leads us typically to overcomplicating things. Not just some things, but we tend to overcomplicate everything. Anyone do that? I've been very aware this week, and hopefully I'm not doing it. I'm hopefully not overcomplicating this passage, right? Because that would be the worst thing ever. But I've been very aware of that this week. We tend to overcomplicate things because we want to know why. And when we know why, we feel like we've got some sense of power over it. And the biggest issues that I tend to have, or that tend to come my way, or I tend to put on myself, is when I try to overcomplicate things, especially the simple things in life. But it's what plagues us all. Consider Adam and Eve. Their instructions were pretty simple, right? Take care of the earth, and enjoy all the fruit except for one tree. It's pretty simple. And they failed miserably. They started to overcomplicate things. And before we get too hard on them, I'm going to tell you all today not to think of a giraffe. And how many of us now are thinking of a giraffe? I told you not to. It's pretty clear, pretty simple. There aren't any giraffes. Okay, good. We've got to do those things. Adam and Eve overthought the command. They overcomplicated life by taking matters into their own hands. Anyone guilty of that this morning? How often do we tend to dig our own graves and overcomplicate life? And you'll notice in Scripture, it seems as if from that point on, God is trying to simplify everything for us. He's trying to simplify everything because we've overcomplicated everything. Jesus tells us simply that the two greatest commandments are to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. To love God and love others. On this hangs all of the law and the prophets. And there are some 600 plus laws. Talk about complicated. And in order to keep those laws, we decided we'd create more laws. If we don't want to come here, we've created a law to keep us from getting there, and it'll only take us right here. And we have overcomplicated things. And Jesus came and seemed to say that, you know what, as long as you love God and love other people, you've got everything well under control. Simple. Very simple. And he even tells us how to do that. How to love God and how to love neighbors. He tells us we do this by making disciples of Jesus Christ. Right? The Great Commission. How do you love God? How do you love others? Well, you go out and you make disciples. You go out and you share with other people the love that you have experienced and the love that has saved you and set you free from the overcomplications in your own life. The wise person, the teacher seems to be saying, will do this. The wise person will keep things simple. The teacher tells us in chapter 8, verse 1, two pretty interesting things. He says, firstly, a person's wisdom brightens the expression. This person, this wise person who loves God, who loves their neighbor, and does so by making disciples, has an air of joy about them. How many of us have joy this morning? Oh, you raise your hands for that question. Okay, all right. You've got joy this morning. Is it a joy that you can explain easily? Probably not. But it's a joy in recognizing that you seem to know what your purpose is. You seem to know who God is, and therefore there's some clarity in your life. The wise person brightens the expression because they're living into their godly image. They have purpose. What they're good at, what they're passionate about, isn't just who they are, but it's what they seek to do in life. My grandfather, my dad's father, told me one day when he first got back from the war, he went through a series of several different jobs, and he finally found one, and it stuck, and that's where he remained until he retired some 30-plus years later. And he told me after, I think it was during his retirement celebration, he said, find a job that you love to do, and you'll never have to work another day in your life because it's what you've been created for. It matches everything. And not only did he work in this company, but he was a lifelong Gideon for many years, did Meals on Wheels and various other things. And this is good advice, and I'll maybe tweak it a little for us this morning. Find God's will for your life, and you'll never have to work another day. That doesn't mean there won't be things that need to be done. It doesn't mean that it will necessarily be easy, but it will be simple. that will make sense to you. It will fit with who you are and what you are good at doing. A person's wisdom brightens the expression. See how wise I am? The thing that keeps me going sometimes is Mondays. I love Monday morning. It's crazy. I come into the office. We've had Sunday service, and now I have a chance to get ready for Sunday all over. And I know that I'm doing what I've been called to do because of that, because of the joy that I have. And my expression is bright. And coffee helps, but my expression is that of joy because I get to do what I get to do. So in 8:1, he tells us that a person's wisdom brightens the expression. The second thing he says is wisdom changes the hardness of someone's face. Has anyone ever seen a hardened face before? If you haven't, yours is probably the hardened face. No judgment, I'm just throwing it out there. When we set our hearts on our will, our faces, our hearts, and our spirits are hardened because it becomes all about what I need to do. It becomes all about me. If you want a relaxed face, if you want to be able to relax, you need to rest in God's will. Because your burden will be lifted. There will be a sense of joy that begins to permeate, a sense of peace. Hardened faces and hearts and spirits want their own way, and because of that, they will overcomplicate everything. Overcomplication is inevitable if our faces are hardened, our hearts are hardened towards our will over God's will. We want to keep things simple. We need to keep things simple. An overcomplicated church, I think, is a hardened and joyless church. And who wants to go there? Maybe if they've got coffee, but probably. Our mission and our purpose here at Petrie is to intentionally make disciples of Jesus Christ within our church, throughout our community, and around the world. We've made it simple. This is how we love God and love others. And if you'll remember, in January, at the end of the year, we gave you the opportunity to come and sign this covenant, saying that's what we would seek to be about. That is who we would seek to be as a people, and we've kept it simple so that we can remember it, so that we can know it. We feel like this is where God is leading us, and it seems consistent with Scripture. And over the course of this month, we've considered what that looks like in our stewardship, again, of our finances and of our time and our talents and all of these things. We're focusing on filling this covenant through our giving. Now, we've given you all pledge cards this week. Everyone got your pledge card? I'm not seeing anybody. Oh, okay, all right. Now, everyone's like, oh, we need more coffee. We've got our pledge cards. Now, the reason we do these, I alluded to this last week, the reason we have these is to give the finance team the best possible information moving forward. That is it. It helps us. Helps us help you. Help us help you. Help us help, right? It's intended for that. Some of you are not going to fill this out, and that's fine. Some of you may fill it out and you won't turn it in, and that's fine. That's your prerogative. That's who you are. That's how you understand it. We're not going to try to force anyone to do that. What I will ask, if you're planning to turn it in, we'll have the opportunity to do that next week. If you're not, I'll ask that you fill it out and just be mindful of it on your own. That's all I'm going to ask. I'm going to keep it simple. What might you be able to do in this way? And then along with that, we have this wonderful little handout here, and it's got all of these various areas where you get to, you've got an other line, so you can tell be able to serve. And so we'll ask you to fill this out as well and to be mindful of that. If you want to fill it out and put somebody else's name on it, we're not going to judge that either. But we are going to tell them who put their name on there, because your name goes right there. And so we're going to ask you to consider that as well. What is God's will for you? How can we help make life simple? How can we continue to be a simple people seeking to make disciples? I want you to see these as ways that we can do that. Maybe this helps simplify your budget a little. It helps take some of the mystery out of next year. Maybe this helps you simplify how you might spend your time. You know, maybe we consider it that way. Because again, these are nothing more than tools to help you think and to help you pray and to help you be mindful of what God might be calling, asking, speaking with you about. Ladies and gentlemen, let's not overcomplicate things. Let's be about our Father's business as Jesus was about his Father's business. Let us continue to do so in love as Jesus has shown us what that love looks like. Let us continue to find joy and continue to be the people that Jesus has called us to be. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and your grace, for your mercies that are new each day. We thank you again for the gifts that you have given to us and the opportunity we have to give back to you. We pray that you would continue to guide and lead us in all things, Lord, individually and corporately. Remind us this day that life has meaning. It has purpose when it has your will at its center. Help us to find your will and help us to relax and revel in that. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.